Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual. And, Jim, it was late last year that you and I floated the idea that I'm sure made all the difference here, that perhaps other people other than mainstream networks who don't have a lot of goodwill towards Republicans ought to play a role in the 2016 presidential debates. We humbly volunteered ourselves for the role. But while we haven't gotten the call yet for one of these, it looks like at least the overall message has gotten through. As you've reported in the campaign spot, Hugh Hewitt, the radio talk show host through the Salem Media Group, will be part of a debate co-sponsored by Salem and CNN, and he will be asking some of the questions. And so it's good to know that there's a conservative out there who will actually be asking the questions, along with the other folks that CNN throws into the mix. I just hope, Jim, that all the remaining Republicans have read whatever book Hugh Hewitt asked them about.
You've hit on it, Greg. I'm going to point out the Salem group clearly easily one of the second or third best radio groups in the world next to Radio America. No, Hugh is a terrific guy, and he's had me on his program a lot. You do put your finger on the fact that if and when, you know, Hugh hosts this, there are going to be certain quirks among them, and I'll give you an impression of how Hugh is likely to go through this. First of all, Gregory, I am James on his program. Everyone has called me Jim, you know, for the last 20 years, but you know, I'm James. So, Gregory, have you read The Looming Tower? If not, get off the stage. Secondly, was Alger Hist a communist?
Yes.
Very good. Thirdly, who should be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
Anybody but Johnny Manziel.
A little quirky observation. How, you know, is Ohio the greatest state in the union, or is it simply the greatest place in the history of humanity? You know.
Oh, that's where I'd fall apart. I can't, you know, as a Michigan guy, I can't say too many things, especially if he brings
get
up Ohio State.
Get yeah. off the – yeah, he, you know, Edwin from Michigan, which ironic that he was such a Mitt Romney fan, considering Mitt Romney's roots in Michigan. Maybe it's because he left Michigan. Hugh warmed up to him so much. The other great observation that came out this morning is we know what the proper response is when you hear that Hugh Hewitt is going to be asking questions at a Republican debate.
What's that?
You know who this helps, Greg?
Who?
Mitt Romney. So, no, first of all, congratulations to Hugh. He is a terrific choice. And it's very rare that a moderator gets you excited. But, I mean, Hugh is smart and tough and fair. And it's a very rare combination there. So, you know, looking forward to it.
Well, way to get the ball rolling, RNC, by allowing this change in format and personnel to happen. Jim and I are still available. And also, if we haven't gotten the call by the time this debate rolls around, Hugh, I'm sure you won't, but don't blow it for the rest of us, because I'm sure we're next on the list. Anyway, good for him. That's fantastic, and it's good to have real conservatives asking questions at a Republican presidential debate, a novel concept that has finally found some traction. Okay, on to the bad martini now. This is a double bad martini. One is another thing that Jim reported in the campaign spot today. The Inspector General from the Department of Housing and Urban Development has basically admitted that it is wasting, the government, i.e. your money, is wasting $37 million per month on people who are not complying with certain public-run housing programs. Basically, a lot of these folks are required to take part in community service or prove to folks that they are basically taking care of themselves and they're capable of holding down a job, that sort of thing. And it turns out $37 million a month is being wasted because so many people are not checking in, and that totals up to nearly $500 million a year. If that's not enough, we head over to the Politico, which is focusing also on government waste, and they go through a lot of these things in a story by Michael Grunwald, but the one that is absolutely mind-boggling. He says, the weirdest number lurking in this year's credit supplement, this is the federal credit supplement, which he calls an obscure batch of tables stashed in the back of the annual White House budget proposal, was in Table 3, where the White House Budget Office explains the assumptions behind its cost estimates for various loan programs. What caught my eye was the default rate for an Agriculture Department program called Broadband Treasury Rate Loans. 116.37%, a default rate above 100%. Was that a typo? It was not a typo. Jim, Just when you thought our taxpayer dollars couldn't be wasted anymore, more reports like this come out.
Yeah, I was going to say, my understanding is that subsequent updates indicated that the White House insists that it is not 116% default rate. They don't know exactly what it is. Okay, the number is messed up. We don't really know what it is, but we know it's not that, is their explanation, which doesn't feel that much more reassuring than that. Just kind of jumping over to the HUD report. Now, look, the idea of waste in the Department of Housing and Urban Development isn't really all that shocking. Having written the Weed Agency and kind of kept my eye on, you know, egregious stories of government waste, sometimes people greet these with yawn or kind of rolling their eyes. It's kind of what we expected. What I think makes this really spectacular is not just the amount, $37 million a month going to residents who don't qualify for a subsidy, who aren't meeting their community service standards or self-sufficiency requirements, is that apparently the Inspector General basically wrote the exact same report in 2008 and said, hey, you've got, you know, this is a major problem and you're not doing anything about it. And absolutely nothing happened. As they put it, HUD did not apply sanctions against housing authorities that failed to enforce CSR compliance. The good news is I believe the Inspector General is set to put up a new report in 6 years, indicating that nothing has improved that one. But I'd like to think at least the Inspector General's office could at least save money by just photocopying the old report and issuing it again, since apparently they're never going to do anything about this problem.
This is why the Weed Agency is so important. And I don't just say that because I like you and I think it's a good book, but it's because this stuff just keeps growing and nothing hardly ever seems to change, regardless of which party is in power. You just mentioned the last report from 2008. That's the tail end of the Bush administration, showed the exact same problem. Things are not getting any better, and it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And your book does a fantastic job of explaining not only that happens, but how it happens in many different cases. So good tie in there to the book, and hopefully that gives folks more incentive to pick up a copy if they haven't already, which really, it's been out for almost 9 months now, so you're running out of excuses. Anyway, on to the crazy martini now, Jim, and we turn to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. The foundation very graciously decided in 2009, after Mrs. Clinton became the nation's top diplomat, to stop taking foreign donations for the foundation. But the second that she left the State Department in 2013, the foundation later dropped the ban. So now it keeps taking foreign donations. And with Hillary about to, we think, launch a presidential campaign, a lot of folks are saying this really stinks to be that close to foreign donations. And what exactly are these people donating money in expectation of? In its statement, the foundation said the Clinton Foundation has strong donor integrity and transparency practices that go above and beyond what is required of U.S. charities and well beyond the practices of most peer organizations. This includes the voluntary full disclosure of donors on our website for anyone to see. The bottom line, these contributions are helping improve the lives of millions of people across the world, for which we are grateful. And really, Jim, you know, there's really no fundraising scandals in the Clintons' past to make you wonder if it's all on the up and up.
Well, here's what really jumped out at me, Greg, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on any of my fellow people on the right. It's a free country. You can donate anything you like. But would you have expected Newsmax.com to contribute $1 million to the Clinton Foundation?
I've got my little Dr. Evil pinky up right now, but no.
I mean, I've heard a few years ago that Chris Ruddy, the founder of the, you know, very lucrative and successful Newsmax, conservative news organization. Remember, he was one of the guys who had sponsored the you know, real investigations of the Clintons way back when and during when Clinton was president.
Yes.
And so there had been bad blood there, and that all of a sudden they'd buried the hatchet, they'd met, they'd gotten along during the Richard Mellon Scaife years. And so I understood there had been some kind of heartwarming tale of former enemies getting together and developing a respect and admiration for each other. And then Newsmax donated $1 million to the Clinton Foundation. It became one of those news stories that make you say, "What? What?" You know, openly say, you know, Newsmax, conservative news. As I posted over on Campaign Spot, Greg, you know, it's a free country and they can donate anywhere they want. I'm just saying Newsmax can't call anybody else a rhino ever. Right? I mean, once you give $1 million to the Clinton Foundation, you really can't determine who's a good Republican and who's a bad one. I'm going to put that out there as a new rule. Let anyone else decide. I don't mean to throw punches at other organizations. But this just seems weird. And of course, you know, Ruddy has said he thinks Hillary would make a great presidential candidate. And yeah, so there we go. I think this really qualifies as one of our craziest crazy martinis in quite some time.
That certainly is crazy. And obviously, there's a complicated history there with Ruddy and Scaife and the Clintons and so forth. Here's what I'm starting to worry about, though. Is Obama so bad that even right-leaning people, or even conservatives, you might call them, are starting to look nostalgic on the Clinton era? I don't think they necessarily are, though I think most people would say Obama is worse. But if there's that kind of fallback, it's going to be kind of hard to mount an effective counter to Hillary Clinton's campaign here if so many folks have got the rose-colored glasses on.
Well, I mean, look, as much as we did not, a lot of conservatives didn't like Clinton back in the mid-90s. Look, he signed welfare reform. He signed NAFTA. The economy was roaring. Yeah, he does look good compared to things right now. You know, it's not surprising we might feel a little more warm and fuzzy towards him. The idea that automatically this means Hillary Clinton is going to be, an acceptable, moderate form of Democratic presidential leadership doesn't necessarily follow, though. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, yeah, we'll find out, especially if she doesn't get much primary competition, how she presents herself eventually. So, Jim, very good. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. Again, go out and buy the Weed Agency if you haven't already. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.